Then mute your mic.
Real community radio.
Yeah.
Show we got going on over here.
Good morning, comrades. You were listening to WHIVLP New Orleans. Actually, no, you're not listening to WHIVLP New Orleans. You're listening on the podcast feed.
Yeah, basically.
This is Good Morning, Comrade. I think we should do a chill one again. That's what we did on Tuesday. We have Jeff and Scott and Aaron on the show today. What's going on? Robert's in this time of social isolation, he's also practicing not doing good, not knowing how to use computers and technology. So he's going to try and join us on this.
You really got to pile it on, don't you? Huh?
I'm not piling anything on. I thought I was being a nice guy.
So I'm not. I feel like we've probably talked about this a million times, but my like lack of being able to do things with technology, it was just super apparent today. It wasn't even technology. It was just like poor planning. Like, answered my work conference call in my pajamas.
All right, so
it's gonna be a video.
So let's just set it That's up real fun. Quick. So you're a social worker, and
we're
in the middle of the COVID-19 coronavirus like fiasco.
Yeah, let's hope we're in the middle and not like the beginning.
Yeah, let's hope it's not the beginning. Let's hope it's closer to the end.
Yeah.
But you're working from home most of the time now. No home visits, none of that stuff, right?
All the time now.
100% work from home.
And I'm so grateful because we essentially don't bring in any money for my company. One, if we don't go out and see clients, because we can't bill Medicaid for phone calls. So I'm really grateful to my company that they I work for a federally qualified healthcare center, and our chief medical officer he's like a pro at these kinds of things. Like, he's a specialist in these kind of infectious disease endemics. So he like, apparently the Surgeon General came to our place of work last week and was like, oh, you guys are leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else as far as like preparation. So I felt good about that, but they said they couldn't in good conscience let us be contributing to the spread, which is what it
right,
would be.
The whole thing.
I'd go from one vulnerable client to the next vulnerable client back home, you know. So I'm glad about that. So we're doing a lot of from home stuff. I'm catching up on admin stuff. I helped the client sign up for food stamps over the phone. So it's like we are still doing stuff, which is good.
Good to hear that food stamps are still going out. I said it's good to hear that food stamps are still going out.
Well, I mean,
for now.
We don't know if he got him.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Hopefully he did. I just like, we had our like team meeting this morning and just popped on my computer, just full on my face and my pajamas. And I was like, oh, let me go put on some clothes. And then came back and realized a wine bottle was just like fully in frame above my head on a shelf, and then my cat just kept shoving his nose into the camera. So
nice.
I'm like really killing it.
Yeah,
today, guys.
You figured it out. Now
I know.
You see, here's the excuse you do for the wine bottle. You say it's decorative. You put lights in them or something, and you use it for crafts.
Well, it still had a quarter bottle left in it, and it was one of those. It's one of those like liter size ones. So
nice.
I mean, it was. I'm like holler yellow.
That's
tail,
just the kind you use.
Blue red ones.
It's just the kind you use for your arts and crafts.
Yeah, it's got to be that specific kind.
With that exact amount of wine still in it.
Yeah, I might be drinking the rest of it right now.
Yeah, totally. So. That would be sweet. I got some PBRs going.
Who's to speculate about whether or not you're drinking wine?
Whose business is it anyway?
That's not up to the viewers.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
Well, yeah, mind your business, viewers.
Yeah. So anyway,
how are you
that
guys?
Sounds like fun.
So Jeff, you're out of, I'm sure you talked about this. I did not listen, full disclosure, I did not listen to Tuesday's show. So sorry about that. How are you guys dealing with this?
I've become a streamer since the hurricane. I keep saying it's a hurricane, but it's like, it feels like a hurricane, right? But
yeah, it does.
Since this outbreak, And since all the like lockdowns and stuff like that, I've had a lot more time to first off clean my house, and it's not even gotten started. I've been moving stuff around and like rearranging stuff in my office. We have to like do all the real house cleaning tomorrow. The other thing has been I've become a streamer. So on Sunday night, New Orleans for Bernie, kind of, we were talking about ways to do digital organizing or whatever for this campaign. And, you know, we got our primary pushback from April 4th all the way till the end of, you know, the end of the entire primary, if it even finishes out, like June 30th, right? But
June 20th, I think.
June 20th?
That's absolutely wild because, like we changed our date and Ohio didn't, and we're not even a real state.
Ohio, Illinois, and Florida during this.
No, Ohio did push theirs back. It's Arizona, Florida, and Illinois.
Okay,
everyone was really.
So what I thought had happened.
Ohio was actually getting in trouble for pushing theirs back, but they still did.
Oh, that's good because I'd seen that a judge ruled that they had to hold it, and I guess the party stood strong. The Secretary of State?
I think the governor was just like, fuck you.
Good. Because that's crazy.
I think he's a Republican, so I think he was like not super upset about telling the judge to fuck himself.
Right.
He just had his Joker mask on?
More than likely. I mean, I didn't watch the press conference or anything, but that feels right.
I mean, definitely. I mean, you can't have that. You can't have... Yeah. I mean, obviously we are having that, obviously. I mean, Arizona and Illinois and Florida are still doing it, like a bunch of psychos. But, like, it's ridiculous.
I'm pretty over it. Pretty over the Democratic Party right now. I'm not gonna lie.
And they're gonna get... Look, the other thing is, too, because the Democratic Party, the establishment, wants Joe Biden to win. Like, it's no secret, no question, nothing, right? And we know that even though, you know, people who are older, people who are, like, over 50, are more vulnerable to this disease, we also know that they would, you know, walk over a suspension bridge, over a volcano, you know, while it's on fire to go vote. They would do that. For Joe Biden.
Well, I know. I saw that's like, it's not even just for Joe Biden. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and like virtually now, since I'm not talking to anyone in person, who said it's your right. You know, a lot of people died for your right to vote. You have to go use it. And I'm like,
but your folks are about to die.
People are scared of a terrorist attack. I was like, this is like a real thing that's here and is not like something that might happen. I'm like, there are just very, very cut and dry things that you're supposed to do during a pandemic. And like voting in person is not one of them. It just isn't. Like, I'm glad that Louisiana pushed ours back because I couldn't in good conscience like go vote and then potentially get someone sick or get sick myself. Like, I'm not super worried about getting sick myself. I'm just like terrified I'm going to give it to someone who is immunocompromised. So I don't know. It just sucks because I'm like, if you're a good person, you probably stayed home. But like,
no, you need to go vote. I mean, you got to. You got to though. Yeah. You can't.
But like,
the thing is, the pandemic's gonna get spread no matter what. At this point, if people are gonna be running around like that, all reckless, I don't think that there's any morality in sitting it out, right?
I disagree.
Okay.
I wouldn't have voted. I wouldn't have voted today.
Jeff, you didn't let me come in your house today.
I know.
And they're brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they needed to move these primaries. And you also know if it goes the other way, if it breaks the other direction, and Bernie Sanders wins, and there will be a depressed turnout. We know that. Because everybody's being, like, literally told to stay in their house or they might kill a bunch of old people. And the problem is that a lot of those old people are the ones that are going out to vote to cut Social Security and Medicare. But anyway,
people
are
going to
die in a bunch of different ways.
Oh, no.
But Tom Perez...
Psycho, 16 minutes ago, just tweeted, we should not have politics, completely abolished.
Who said
politics
this?
Politics do not vote at all. Jose Canseco. So, listen, listen to him.
We should not have politics.
He said, we should have not have politics, completely abolished. Politics do not vote at all. Not a period to be had amongst it. But I like it.
You know what? He's,
he's
better than Tom Perez.
I think I might retweet.
Go ahead. Fave and retweet Jose Canseco.
Done.
You have my permission.
Is he better than Mark McGwire? Because Mark McGwire was a liar.
Oh. Jose Canseco was a way bigger and a way better liar. And a way more entertaining liar. Like, yeah, Mark McGwire was a very sort of like precious guy. You know, he got really upset about things. He was really sensitive.
He was very, like, pearl grabby.
But, especially when it came to the steroid stuff. But, when it came to Jose Canseco, he would just be like, ah, yeah, you're right, I'm full of shit, you know?
He wrote a book called
And he owns a gas station.
Most retired sports players own car dealerships. He has a gas station. That's great. No, I love it.
He's talking about the supermarket. It was just a bit of ribaldry, Jeff.
Oh, man. Well, I agree with him. I think we should just abolish politics. So, it's done.
Yeah, just knock some dingers.
Oh, I love the dingers. A lot going on, too. Library staff are in New Orleans. Are essentially, I think they're being forced to go in still.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I know they're closed. The libraries are closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know I've had a couple clients who go to the library all the time, and they definitely were closed today.
Good.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to enlist the staff in a deep clean.
Well, that makes some sort of sense, but
they should
I don't
be
know.
At home.
I feel like it's too late for that.
Yeah, you don't need to be cleaning it up right now. You need professionals doing that, not staff.
We just need to burn it all to the ground. I think it's time. Just raise it.
The libraries?
All of it. Just all of it. Society. We're done.
Wow.
We gotta start over.
Look. I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that it's probably going to happen at this point. If current trends continue, I'm calling it for the fire.
Oh,
fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The righteous fire.
The
cleansing righteous fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we not use that imagery, please?
Fair. Fair. So, do we want to go back to talking about the primaries?
They're bad.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. So the debate happened on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Robert called in. That was cool. Talked to him. Me and Scott.
He was very angry.
He's probably very angry right now, too. It sounds like when he's fighting with technology. I know I'm very angry when I have to fight with technology like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
But
yeah, you're a tech warrior.
Well, look, if you're going to fight with technology, you're going to win or you're going to lose. And I ain't going to lose. Okay. But anyway. Yeah, we talked to Mark Allendary also. He talked about, and I think Robert and Mark Allen both had the same idea. I still kind of hold strong. Like a lot of folks are saying, everybody's saying this. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's saying that Bernie Sanders is not attacking Joe Biden enough. And I just don't see how that helps him win. How it puts him in a better situation. Because Bernie sort of like crafted this image of being able to work with everybody.
One, two.
Hey! Just in time, because now we get to disagree. We have Bernie has crafted this.
We were so close. I can hear him because we're
can
in the same
hospital.
Yeah,
I can hear you. We're just talking
can
about
you hear
how,
me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Nextel guy or whatever. Phone guy.
Jesus Christ.
Verizon Wireless.
Verizon.
Brands, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Which brand is this about? Anyway, so Bernie, people are saying that Bernie should be attacking Joe Biden more and more. And while, and we're going to disagree about this, Robert, but I just don't see how that works for him. I don't know how that makes it so that he's going to win. I mean, he's definitely pointing out left, right, and center all of the hypocrisies that Joe Biden is doing. He's just not attacking him personally. And I don't know how that helps, because Joe Biden is still fairly popular. And media and a lot of, you know, the Biden campaign surrogates are going to turn it into, well, Bernie's just attacking it, and it'll be the Bernie Bros thing all over again. And that's what I, like, that's the issue that I sort of see with like, really going in and trying to leather Joe Biden. But tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly why you're wrong. You can hear me, right?
Yeah, you sound beautiful.
Okay, so the problem with all that is, it's like we have two different theories of change. Your theory of change is optimistic, and you think that not just Bernie Sanders, you think that anybody in AOC, anybody can be nuanced and appeal to like people's rationality and good nature, to where like I have swallowed the black pill completely, and it's like it's not that Bernie Sanders missed his chance in that last debate. Really, Biden needed to implode. He's missed his chance for 8 years now. Mm-hmm. Where he should have been going in.
He didn't have to draw a clock on national television.
You're trying to... Here, Aaron, can you shut that door?
Oh, yeah.
Let's wait, because we're just indifferent.
We are definitely being true millennials right now, in that we are in the same house, but
okay,
podcasting from different rooms.
So, the problem is, you're trying to... What you just said, you said that, I think... he's showing his arguments aren't sound, or what'd you say?
He
was something smart.
Well, he has called out Joe Biden specifically for trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and all these other things.
Right.
He's showing that Joe Biden is a huge liar, and it's obvious for everyone in the world to see.
Okay, so here's our thing.
Oh, hold on, I'm not done.
Go ahead.
I don't know how. Like directly attacking Joe Biden specifically helps.
Okay. So just what you said right there, like you're showing how everybody in the world, how he's a liar by like not calling him a liar. Like I'll give you an example. But Joe Biden lied for 2 hours on the debate stage and
the whole
Bernie
night.
Bernie never called him a liar. He would just, he just appealed to hope people's like rationale and be like, oh, obviously like, you're going to go to the YouTubes. It's going to be all over. Nobody is going. This is a Thursday show?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody is going to fucking do that. The thing is, people are dumb. Like Aaron will say it all the time. People don't have good civics education. They don't have good education in general. So the idea that all Biden had to do, the bar was so low that whatever amphetamines they pumped him up with, all he had to do was stand up straight for 2 hours, and it didn't matter what came out of his mouth. What needed to happen is either Bernie needed to goad him into saying something crazy, which Bernie never did or Bernie never would do, or the man literally needed to fall down on stage and take his pants off or whatever. And that didn't happen, so Joe Biden won. And my main argument to where you're going to say, like, no, we need to appeal to people's rationality and we need to appeal to, like, you know, like, show people evidence. No, Trump is fucking president. All that bullshit is out the window. Hillary Clinton ran rings around Donald Trump, ran rings around him on a debate stage. No one gave a fuck. They want the blurb. They want the snapshot. Mm-hmm. They want the soundbite. And that's what matters. It's cynical. It's disgusting. But it's also facing reality as what it is.
I do.
That's why the next person on the left who takes the mantle of Bernie Sanders and tries to grab the ever-moving brass ring of electoralism honestly needs to be a Trump. They need to be like, you're stupid, you're ugly, your wife's ugly. I'm sorry, that's the only way it's going to work. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Trump literally called Ted Cruz's wife ugly to his face, and he still campaigned.
Exactly.
And, oh my God.
And you know what? Like, and that's the thing, that it's kind of like a culture that we've been set up. We've been it's one of the many lies, as like just American culture in general that we've been told, is that on a schoolyard, right? You've got a bully, and he's a bully, and he's throwing his weight around, and he's doing this. And you're like, and your mom tells you, well, you know, he's calling you names. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And all this, like, well, right. Actually shit.
Bernie's
trying
not
to, well,
that,
actually,
though.
Bullies, and they're getting fucking, and all you're doing is catching wedgies and swirlies. The only things that stops them is punching them dead in the mouth. And you'll get dads that say, walk up to that motherfucker and just punch the piss out of him. Win or lose, he's not going to fuck with you no more.
Well,
and that's,
I mean,
what it is. And
you're going to
say that's
so
not
many...
healthy.
I'm not going to say that.
I get you.
I'm not going to say that.
But that is the world. That's the world in which we live in. Again, my main evidence is Trump is president.
All right.
Trump is president. None of that bullshit is not going to work.
And good news, I just looked at a Hill article, and apparently Bernie's only down by 9 points in a national poll. He was down by 21 the same time
in Florida,
last week.
In Florida?
So I think people are just in general, national poll.
He was down 21 in a national poll.
I think people are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, after Super Tuesday 2.
Super Tuesday.
He's back up.
I'm just saying that, like, I would love to live in a world where a Bernie Sanders could, like, rationally lay out his case and everybody would go, that makes the most... Look at the world we live in. Look at the world we live in right now. Coronavirus is tearing this world apart. And we've dumped, $2 trillion into the stock market now just to have another dead cat bounce today?
Just to give it away.
Just literally lighting money on fire. And these same motherfuckers are sitting there talking about, we don't have money for healthcare. And they'll say right to your face, we don't have money for healthcare and education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
they'll do the same.
They don't care. They don't care about lying.
So
they don't care.
Here's the thing where I don't, I think you maybe misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about Bernie appealing to people's rationality, other than the fact that he's directly appealing to their material interests, right? And the lie, the very specific lie, that was one of the most pivotal points of the debate last night, and I'm not saying that this means that Bernie won or anything. I think that he, like, kind of, he did better than Biden or something, but he didn't do big enough to change anything. But my point here is, he called him out on something that was about Social Security and Medicare. And he did literally, like, just go right up in his face and he said, oh, you're full of shit? Go check it out. You know, what is he supposed to do?
He should have said that. He said you lied. No, you know, I'm what I'm saying. He should have said, literally, he should have said, the word should have left his mouth, you are full of shit. You're lying to the American people. That's exactly what he should have said on that stage.
Would that have
and
helped
because
him?
What? But yes, because guess what? The people who you're concerned about calling him a bully and calling us Bernie Bros, it doesn't.
I'm not concerned about them.
They're going to do what they're going to do.
I'm not necessarily concerned about them. I'm concerned about.
That's what you said, though.
That Johnny. I'm not concerned about them themselves. I'm concerned about the influence that they can control, and they're going to do that kind of stuff anyway. I do understand that part. I don't see how Joe Biden attacking Joe Biden actually gives them something to use. And when the bullshit that they're pulling, like, on the regular is so transparent that you can just easily write them off.
But the thing is, people need to be shook out of that, man.
I think you guys are both right.
Nothing has changed. Like, it's just getting worse and worse. Let me tell you something today. I don't know if you've been following, like, again, I have to state that our Twitter account is only me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the one that handles our Twitter. But I don't know if you've been,
just
like,
put the name on Comrade Morning as Robert.
At the stuff, I'd actually take my name off of there.
I know.
Since my new job. Johnny, stop.
Anyway, go ahead.
But look,
just put
this
not
is the
Robert.
World we live in, to where this the world that we live in is that you've got the Democratic Party being outflanked on populism by the right wing.
Yeah, because they're dumb as
and
shit.
So, and nobody bats an eye. Mm-hmm. Nobody goes, look at the world. We're literally in like an extinction level event, you know, and they're like, nah, we don't want to do any kind of like social
anything.
Any kind of anything to help working, but the GOP is taking up that mantle.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I said, honestly, if the GOP was like, if the Republican Party was smart, if I was one of Trump's advisors,
they are smart.
The thing I would do right now, well, they're trying to see. Okay. Let me go back. They're not smart. And I'll circle back around to why. The thing I would do right now, if I was one of Trump's advisors is, you know, we're literally lighting cash on, you know, we're lighting cash on fire to serve the stock market. I would write a Medicare for All bill right now and get it passed and have Trump sign off on it. And that'd be the death of the Democratic Party. No one would ever vote Democrat ever again. And, you know, even me, like, we have a leftist podcast. We have a leftist socialist podcast. And if Trump signed a Medicare for All bill right now, the fucking MAGA hat would be going on my head.
Okay.
No, I'm dead ass serious. I'd vote for Trump.
I'd have some feelings about that.
Yeah,
I
me
wouldn't.
Too.
Why? No, let's talk about this. I would love to know why. Go ahead.
Because why would you have feelings? Well, because of all the racism, probably.
Well, the closing off the borders, the kids in the cages, and all of the other stuff that kind of goes along with it
and
is an issue
the
because that's actually a part on the like you're on the rails to fascism at that point.
Right.
Aaron.
And that's the thing. That's something I want to go back. That's another thing I want to put a pin in. That's the most dangerous part of this whole equation because this is classically, and I'll say this talking, I guess, out of both sides of my mouth. This is classically what fascists do.
Mm-hmm.
Is what
they outflank the center to the left.
Right. And the liberals just sit there and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I wanted to throw something in there.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Just the rape stuff is not.
Okay.
Ideal.
See, here's how bad the Democratic Party is. And I was thinking about this today. I was like, those are the arguments of why, like, let's say in this hypothetical world, Trump signs off on the Green New Deal. No, just Medicare for All. Does UBI and Medicare for All.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, the rape, right? Well, I would be like, well, Joe Biden supported Clarence Thomas over Anita Hill.
Yeah, but it's all shades of shit. And
right.
That's a better shade of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, and then
full-blown rape, I will say.
What was the other argument? The other argument was kids.
The racism.
Okay, so the racism, you could brush away and say that, well, he doesn't support that, his people do, but we've got to look at harm mitigation. We've got to look at passing Medicare for All and UBI would mitigate so much harm, and we can push the racists to the left.
Wait, so are we talking about what other people will say, or are we talking about you? Because
I'm talking
you
about
would
that's
don,
exactly
you would don a MAGA hat.
Yeah, I would. I would say that's exactly the argument. That's how what I'm trying to get to is that's how bad the Democratic Party is that you could come up with reasonable arguments.
Those aren't reasonable arguments, though.
They're not.
No.
But the thing is, so okay, my like you said,
those are dumb arguments.
I would say kids in cages would be the biggest one, like immigration, like you said, the border wall. But what have we always been told, like as voting for the Democratic Party? Well, you've got to support them, even if you don't like their policies, and then you can fight them from the left, and they'll listen to you.
Yeah,
and change.
Which they never do.
The same argument could be made for the GOP. The same dumb argument. But those are the dumb arguments that get floated.
Yeah, of course they are. But okay, so that's the question. So you're saying, yeah, obviously all of those arguments are going to be made. But you're saying, okay, so if he does one good thing you like, you're going to buy into all the rest of the argument?
I would say if he did one good thing that like mitigated so much harm, it would
not mitigate all of that other stuff. So
what I'm saying, it would
put, tell you.
What I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Okay, the point of what I'm saying is, the Democratic Party should have never been in a position to where they get outflanked on the left.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's how bad they are. It's like, this is the world that we're looking at, and this is how feckless and useless they are.
No, the Democratic Party is important.
We don't have to...
Mm-hmm.
We can agree that the Democratic Party is really bad without, like, all of a sudden giving props to the Republicans. Like, that's a very, like...
I wouldn't, but that's the thing. I would not give props to them. The same, if we're going to talk, if you and I have sat here in this house and talked about why we need to vote Democrat because of harm mitigation. So you can't take that, and I've said that argument is nonsense.
If you're going to vote for the Democrats,
put on the other side.
If you're going to vote for the Democrats for harm mitigation, they actually have to mitigate harm.
Oh no, now harm mitigation is not a thing.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I don't agree, but I understand that if the Democrat, if you're voting for Democrats to do harm mitigation, they actually have to do harm mitigation. And exactly. At this point, I mean, they're the Washington Generals, and then he's getting dunked on by the Globetrotters, right? That's what it is. Now, I'm not saying that the answer is to, start supporting, the Republican Party, even necessarily, an insurgency of the Republican Party or anything like that. And I don't think that's necessarily even what you're saying.
No, I'm not.
But, I do...
I'm just throwing out a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue, if you want to have a real argument and not have, hypotheticals... At this point, if we are going to do, as leftists, electoralism, would it almost make more sense? Is there an argument that it would be easier and it would be an easier hill to climb to try to take over the right wing of the party than it would be to take over the centrist wing?
I don't think it's either or.
No.
I think it's both.
My thought process is, okay, if Bernie's theory of change is... we need to get all the workers on board. Well, the right wing has a lot of poor workers in states that you would need to win the electoral college. So I'm going to say, I'm just throwing this out here. Could some kind of deal be struck to where look, as leftists, we'll drop all ID politics, but you guys have to drop all racist bullshit. And then we can just kind of agree to get along as poor workers.
How would that work?
Like a mutual disarmament?
Just the same way.
Okay,
the same,
we agreed to never talk about racial or gender issues if you agreed to stop being racist.
I don't know.
How on earth would that work?
Seems pretty far-fetched.
It is. But I'm saying that's the kind of shit we're up against, though, because obviously, there is no place for us in the Democratic Party.
Damn.
There's no place, not just us, we're something on the fringes. I don't even want to use that language. There's no place for working people on the Democratic Party.
So, what you're talking about is essentially like a labor party or a workers' party, and
sure.
I don't think that will. I mean, maybe it can. I mean, this has been tried in the U.S. in the past. I don't think it would take the same form as the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It would have to be an entity that sort of kind of that transcends that line, and it needs to have a sense of sort of collective unity so that kind of identity or that kind of, material condition of working people, working class people, are stronger than the sort of two central, the left-right, or not even left-right, but the Democrat-Republican nodes, right? Red team, blue team.
Right.
I'm going to say that can only happen through a labor union sort of situation, but that's a long ways off.
Yeah, no, it's something multi-generational for sure. I guess it's just two things that I'm going to, because I don't want to forget the last little bit. My theory on that is the reason why I think it's even feasible, even as a long, three-point shot from one end of the court to the other, is that when I look at, and Aaron and I have had these conversations, when I look at these two groups of people and I look at who I consider to be the worst on both sides, the worst Democrats and the worst people who vote Republican, the worst people who vote Republican to me are racist, sexist, homophobes, right? But there's a chance that they're just racist, sexist, homophobes. A chance. I'm not saying all of them. But there's a chance that they're racist, sexist, homophobes because they just don't know better and they don't have any class consciousness. If they were presented with that, you could maybe peel some of them off. To where I feel like on the centrist side, on the Democrat, I don't even say the left anymore, on the Democratic Party side, you have educated liberals who damn well know better.
Well, you have two elite parties.
I mean, they don't have class consciousness.
Who doesn't have class consciousness?
The rich people.
Yes, they do.
Right,
but
they
act in
but
their...
they've at least had... Yeah, oh, go ahead. Exactly.
So, in the Democratic Party, it's largely the one by run by academic and elite folks. They understand that they will be materially served by being a controlled opposition. And we've talked about this on this show, and Mark Allen talks about this a lot on his show. That sort of the function that the Democratic for sure the leadership and the elite of the Democratic Party, they understand that if you kind of like hold, like if they're determined to be the sort of like furthest acceptable power base of you know, quote unquote left, and Robert just said that basically they're just, you know, centrists, and the center is the left, and that's the farthest left that you can feasibly be, they're sort of cutting off everything better than that. So they're able to control the politics to the point where they're holding that flank and shutting, because I mean, you can see in the way that the Democratic Party fights internally against the left, right? Against Bernie Sanders. They hate Bernie Sanders. They hate AOC.
They fight that harder than anything they've ever fought for or fought against.
Exactly. But they hate them because they're the actual possibility that the corporate interests that fund the Democratic Party, they're actually a threat to them. Much more so than the Republican Party is. I mean, they can live for in their positions as control opposition. Nancy Pelosi can be the Speaker of the House until she's a skeleton. But they're fundamentally served by assuming that loser position.
The last little bit I want to say, like, you made me think of something, and now I'm going to get off my soapbox for the rest of the show, is that what you said before about, like, the Republican Party, like, they're stupid, whatever.
I think they're way smarter than the Democratic Party.
Oh, no, that's what you said. They're geniuses. Okay,
not
yeah,
geniuses. They're not
smart.
Geniuses.
But
I mean, they're
smart.
Just governing in their... they're rich people governing in their interests.
It's not even, like, when you see them talking about, hey, we need to do something for people, even lip service. We need to do something for people. We need to get some UBI going, like, whatever. It's not even that they're smart. It's something that's been told to me my whole kind of, when I started making the shift from being just like voting blue no matter who, voting Democrat, to like becoming a leftist. And I don't know where I got it from, but it's been said a million times. It's that the Democratic Party disdains their base, but the Republican Party fears theirs. And the people that they like who vote Republican, they are actually afraid of. And they're like, they literally fear the Rev. They fear the revolution, so they're like, oh, we got to do something. They at least know, like, we have to do something, or these people are going to be on the streets. Most likely with all the guns that they buy. Where the Democratic Party's like, we ain't got to do nothing. Nobody's going to do anything.
Blame
let
the electorate.
Cry, let them whine. Blame the electorate, you know?
BTE.
So that's where we're at.
Aaron?
Robert?
What you got?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm about to go grab a drink, though. I'm thirsty.
Well, I just think that was like an insanely like reductive conversation, to be honest.
You think it's a reductive conversation?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like we're like asking the like. Okay, so we first started having this conversation about whether or not Bernie Sanders should be more forceful in attacking Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
and. So it's like this weird conversation where we're talking about how we're never going to take over the Democratic Party anyway because they're feckless and corporatists and they don't care about us and they don't have our best interests in mind and they're all corporate, like they're all just already going to, they like being the controlled opposition.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, like why are we even talking about the debate? So it's mm-hmm. like a very strange thing. Like if you feel that way, I think that's a really valid way to feel. And I mm-hmm. often, like, I've been feeling that way recently. I feel very checked out of current politics. And I feel very, very isolated and kind of, I don't know, isolated is the right word, but very disengaged with the Democratic Party.
While you're running for Democratic Executive Committee.
I know, I am running for, I know. And I was like thinking to myself the other day that I'm like kind of bummed that I signed myself up for that because I'm feeling like I just don't really want to be a part of it. But then again, I do struggle with the idea of, you know, we do have a two-party system right now. I wish there was more parties, but I'm trying to figure out where is my activism best served. Is it best served by trying to change the one, like one of the current parties, the current structure from the inside for the better, or is it really so far gone that it'd be better served if I just took my time and energy elsewhere? I haven't really come up with an answer for that. But if we're having that conversation, like that's the conversation we need to be having. We don't need to be having a conversation about like what Bernie Sanders can do to win over a group of people who is obviously was never going to let him win anyway, you know?
Well, I guess that last statement, let me address that really quickly, and then I'll go to another point that you made, which is really good. I guess the point here for me and my position being that those people can only hurt a Bernie Sanders campaign. Like, that's the only thing they can do. They can't help it in any way because they're not committed to it. But they have that ability to kind of use whatever attacks Bernie rolls out against them and against the left. That's sort of like the only function that they serve, right?
Yeah.
And let me get back to your other point. So basically, don't attacking Joe Biden before I move on. Attacking Joe Biden or anybody else in the Democratic Party gives them something that's credible that they can sort of turn against them. And that's why I don't necessarily think it's helpful to kind of like roll out with direct attacks. To your
It's one thing to be kind of taking out like ads and things, but like he just like straight up lied multiple times.
Yeah,
and
no, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to be like super. Bernie should have been like super forceful in his language, but I don't think it would have been even slightly amiss for him to be like, "Hey, no, that's a lie." Like,
he did that though.
He said, "Go online." That's not true. Go online, but it's like, okay, how many people actually went online afterwards? Like, we did because we're perpetually online and also quarantined, so we had the time. But most viewers are not going to do it. It wasn't covered by any of the media stations. Mm-hmm. So essentially, like, he's not doing himself any favors by assuming that people are going to do the work themselves. Like, he's too high-minded about people. Mm-hmm. I think that's his downfall.
Well, like, Robert had a great... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Robert had a really good point saying that, like that was essentially giving marching orders to people to say, hey, go find this video and show it to people, you know? And I thought that was a good point. And also, you should be showing that video to people, even though it does look like Bernie's getting clobbered again, but we knew that was coming.
But, like, what people are we going to be showing it to? Like, I think that's the question. Like,
somebody
Twitter,
who, when you have a conversation about it, yeah, post it on your Facebook, post it on your Twitter. You know, DM somebody, text somebody. I don't know. It's just an idea that it can be organized around. I mean, that's an answerable question. The ball's in our court. You know what I mean?
I guess.
On the other point that you made, which I really think is an interesting question, the whether or not we should be engaging with these, established either Democratic or established political entities that exist, I think they, in a sense, have to be explored so that we can learn how they operate on a like direct level, so that they can be, so you know how to behave in that space, right? Because if you just like walk yourself in, you know, one day, you don't know, or actually, if you never ever go to that space and you don't know how it ticks, you don't know how it works, you don't know how it operates, how can you expect to know that how can you expect to know that it's going to change, or how can you make it change if you don't have any influence in that area, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but at a certain point, like, how often does this need to happen before? Well, like, I'm not saying I have my mind up made up one way or the other. Like, I do still have, like, I really was like a diehard Democrat for a really long time, and
yeah,
out of pocket. But if what you're saying is that, like, oh, we're doing opposition research, it's like, how much more do you need to do? Like, either we're, like, running a candidate that we are, like, believe in and we're going to campaign for and we think he can win the party because we believe that the party mm-hmm. is still could be won, or we don't. Well, like, we went through this in mm-hmm. 2016. So it's, like, at a certain point, this is, like, a very silly conversation to be having in the middle of a presidential campaign.
Well, I'm not involved in the local, you know, local and state Democratic Party necessarily because I think it's going to get Bernie Sanders to become president. But I do think that in the context of understanding how the structures that exist, these political structures that exist in the society function, and like reading about them and experiencing them are two extremely different things, right?
True.
So
yes, a society.
But my point here is that there is opportunity there at the local level. It's not over after this, even though, you know, climate and all the other stuff. But even if, like, I don't know, being in a space, when I started going to, like, my union meetings, you get to see how they operate, right? When you go to DSA meetings, you get to see how they operate. You see how business gets done. When you go to these DPEC things, you see how they operate. And that's important to understand how to build influence and change the way that they operate. You can't just expect them to fall apart by themselves. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I mean, I agree with you. I just think that's why I agree with all of that. That's why I think these kind of conversations can be kind of damaging.
Which one?
Because, I don't know, just this idea of, like, talking about, you know, kind of talking about all the ways in which the race is, like, predestined to be against any good candidate.
Right. It's and I don't agree with that.
Because, it's not helpful, I feel like.
I mean, you can talk specific, so I think that that's an interesting point, too, because you can, like, the outcome is not determined. You don't know what's going to happen. You can see what the desired outcome of the, you know, a lot of the leanings of the structures within the Democratic Party are. You can see which way they want to go. You can see which way they're going to use every bit of their influence to make it go, or make it go against, or to avoid, which in this case it's Bernie Sanders, right? Mm-hmm. And you can use that as information for, well, that's a dynamic that exists. It does not mean that the outcome is necessarily decided. Like, that's a different thing. And I don't think, I mean, like, even at this point, when Bernie's getting clobbered in three states, I don't think the primary is over.
My thing is this, though. It's like, we can still run, we could still take part in electoralism on the state and federal level, but the kind of leaders we need are going to be people that, like you said, influence and change. Like, that's dead. Like, you're never going to be able to influence. What you have to do is actively take over. So it's like, if you're local
I'm definitely advocating for taking over.
Yeah, so forget that. That's Bernie's main issue. That's why he lost in 16. That's why he's going to lose now, is because he's trying to work within the margins. You need a leader. You need somebody who's going to say, okay, fine. Like, we're never the Democratic Party. Let's say, like, my proto Bernie Sanders, like, he would say, the Democratic Party's never going to accept me. He would say this, like, on camera. They're never going to accept me. I'm here to change for working people, to change for poor people. I know what I'm up against. This is the 40% of the country that I have right now. If y'all want to have any chance of defeating Donald Trump or whoever the right wing ideologue is, or this could be in any race, you say, look, here are my, you treat them, be like, oh, don't be a terrorist. You treat them like a terrorist. You go, look, these are my demands. Either the candidate that's going to win this thing, let's say Joe Biden, is going to do X, Y, and Z, or we're taking our people and that's it, and you won't win. That's what needs to happen.
Okay, but so what I don't understand is, how are we going from, okay, it's a party that won't take any suggestions, it won't do this, it won't do that, so we have to win it. But it's like this idea that, like, okay, if you've already made the assumption that they're bad in all these other ways, like, obviously the logical conclusion to that is that they would cheat and you're never going to win anyway. So it's like, it just feels like it's such a strange conversation to be having, that it's like so cynical.
But it's about leveraging your power base. Bernie's built up a power base. He's built up a base of people. And he doesn't want to leverage that for anything. Now you're gonna tell me that's why he's gonna stay in, because he's gonna try to push him to the left and this and that. You see, but 2016 happened. Hillary Clinton didn't go nowhere. She wasn't pushed to the left. They left. You have to like be ready. The one thing Donald Trump, and he ghost wrote the book, so probably he didn't even say it. If you read Art of the Deal, he says never engage in any deal that you're not prepared to walk away from. So what that means is you have to be prepared to go, nope, this is what I want. And if you don't want to play that way, this is the power, this is the leverage and the power base I have. So I'm going to take my ball, my people, and go home if you don't do X, Y, and Z. Bernie is not
on the table.
Bernie said right from jump, I'm going to support the Democratic Party no matter what. So what leverage does he have?
Well, so because the supporters, again, it's not just on him. He himself says that he's going to support the Democratic Party or whatever. But, I mean, the lion's share, and this is not unknown, this is very clear, that he brings these people to the table. But, I mean, there is a threat, and I think it's a legitimate and legitimate and clear threat that he won't. I mean, that he will campaign for the nominee just like he did last time. And that does not mean that they're going to turn out to vote for, you know, Joe Biden, just like they did actually turn out for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I know.
But hold on.
Okay.
There is, like, he can't say that. He can't say that on the debate stage. He can't say that they're not gonna support Joe Biden. They won't knock on doors. They won't canvass. They won't. The organizing apparatus that's been constructed is not gonna. It's not going to fall in line because it doesn't play that game. So I think that's an understood thing.
No, it's not understood, because just what you said. Okay. So if he can't say that, then it's definitely not understood by me, because if he can't say that, what does he get? Like you said, he's built up this base of young people who are not going to vote for Biden in the general. So what are we getting for that?
I mean,
what does he get for that?
What does he personally get?
Without actively, what does he get for, honestly, humanity, for that?
I mean, we have
have a base, and you have a base, and you know that you're not going to use it. Okay, here's an analogy. Aaron's going to hate me for this. There's a good part in the end of if you watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the last couple episodes where Kira is leading like the
drink for all you people who are playing the drinking game. Drink because of Star Wars now.
Star Trek. So the rebel leader is, she has to like align with her sworn enemies to fight off the bigger bad, and they have to do like a guerrilla warfare campaign. And it says, okay, we have to pull our people out of these weapons factories. That's what it is. We can never bomb the enemy's weapons factories because there's civilians that work there. And she says, well, if the enemy knows that you're going to do that, we might as well just surrender right now, because that's all they're going to do is just fill the weapons factories with civilians, and they know we'll never be able to attack you. Mm-hmm. So my point is, if Bernie's not willing to leverage that, then we get nothing out of it.
I suppose that the part where because in principle and sort of like strategically, I do agree with you. I just don't think he's not doing that, and I don't think he's in control of whether or not the people that support him will or won't do that.
I agree with you on that. Like, he's not in control of it because, like, the people who support Bernie Sanders are not in a cult of personality.
No, that's not like, the point.
It's all issues driven. We've Correct. Said this a million times. Like, it's all issues driven. But if he could at least faint. I'm just looking at this I'm not saying it's smarter or better than you. I'm just looking at this in a completely different way. I'm looking at this as a war game. So if he's not willing to at least faint that he has that kind of power, even if he knows he doesn't, then again, what good is having that? What good is having the silver bullet if the werewolf knows you're never going to pull the trigger?
I don't know. So
he doesn't even have the gun.
About, like, the Democratic Party is like the be all end all enemy, which we can. I mean, I'm not 100% either way if that's true or not. But so, like, I essentially don't understand how you feel like leverage is even in play at a certain point. Like, if they are as bad as you are saying they are in this entire conversation, then we're, like, very much beyond the point of leverage. We are at the point of elections are fixed. There's nothing we can do. Again, we need to do something else. So, like, it's like you're weirdly optimistic while also being so pessimistic. It's very strange.
That's the thing. Okay, so my next step on that and my next logical step would be that I have the sneaking suspicion that the Democratic Party doesn't care about losing to Trump. The only thing they care about is putting Bernie in power. I mean, keeping Bernie out of power. So, keeping the left from having any real power in their party and over the government. So, you would have somebody like a Bernie Sanders would say, okay, now it's time for you to decide. We can win this election for you. I can mobilize my people if you give us X, Y, and Z, or we're going to see if you're like, I've heard all this time how Trump is an existential threat from the Democratic Party. And I'm imagining I'm talking to Joe Biden from people like you. Now we're going to see if that's true. I'm going to put you to the fire and you're going to see, see what your answer is.
Question. What people are, okay. Like when you're talking about this, you're acting like he's won all these people have turned out, which like we have like tons of reasons why people didn't turn out to vote. Cynicism, voter suppression. There's like a million different reasons. But this idea that you're like, oh, me and my people. And it's like, okay, but like you didn't win the primaries. So it's this idea that you're like, I just don't understand where you feel like this leverage is coming from. Like, well, as if there's this like mob that's going to do a bunch of shit.
Well,
it's like
that's
all
true.
The same reasons why people didn't show up to vote are going to be the same in a general and like when this war. So it's just like, I don't know. I just don't quite.
Well, if that's true, then Trump's already won a second term. We've got nothing.
Yeah,
to
and
about.
I felt that way for discuss. A very long time. But that's why I'm saying like all of your arguments are like against electoralism, but you're using them all to talk about like how Bernie should act in an election. So I don't know. I just don't really quite understand
because,
like your point
okay.
of view.
But here's my point of view, and we've had this. I don't know if like Jeff and I've had this talk. I've definitely had this talk with people at my old job. Is that I've been turned against electoralism, but I also understand the revolution's not coming. Nobody's taking to the streets. That's not going to happen. It's just not a thing. So what we have is electoralism. So we have to figure out some kind of way to smash a square peg into a round hole. That's what I've come up with.
I don't know. It just doesn't really seem like a worthwhile argument to be having if that's like the viewpoint you're coming out of from.
Here's a really great post that a buddy of mine made, Ryan at Workerism on Twitter. If your hatred for the party establishment is pure, remember that it absolutely nothing would make party elites happier than if socialists fucked off into oblivion and formed a third party. Because the way things operate within the U.S. was in this dichotomous structure, right? And as an addition to that, and he had another really good one, but essentially, like, we fought this entire time, like, to make, you know, to get Bernie elected or whatever, and all we ended up with is an organized youth base of working class. So I think we're in a better spot than we've ever been. We're more organized than we've ever been. And we're not as fucked as it seems.
I agree with that. I'm pro electoralism. I'm just saying, like,
it's a part of the puzzle.
I feel like anybody who's listened to the show will know that I'm like a little bit more, I would say, measured in my feelings about a lot of this stuff. And part of the reason why is because at a certain point, like, if I was to be as angry as I think even like sometimes Robert gets, like, I would no longer be able to participate in the process. And like, I'm kind of there right now. And so it's maybe that's me just trying to work through some stuff. But I'm like, if you feel like the Democratic Party is like truly that horrendously bad and like they're our enemy and things, like the idea of then like trying to engage with like in a system that allows that is very strange to me. And so I just I think we either need to be like more measured in our speech or we need to be like rallying the troops. I don't know.
That goes back to what I'm saying, though. I don't know if you heard me before, but what I'm saying is,
if you feel that way and other people feel that way, then, like,
if
essentially
we're
you're asking them to fight a losing battle, and I can't see how that's going to get people involved either.
No, I'm saying if you're going to do this electoralism thing, then let's look at it for what it is. Like, it can be both things. Like, the Democratic Party is my enemy, but this is the battlefield I have to fight.
Yeah, you have to defeat your enemy, right?
I can't fight anywhere else. So let's look at them as for what they are. They're not our buddies. They're not our pals. They're not people to get along with. They're people to amass numbers to overwhelm them with and to run them out. That's what they are.
I think we're doing
that. And that is the difference between a Bernie Sanders and hopefully whoever comes next. Bernie Sanders was, I want to unify with these people. My good friend Joe.
He was never a Democrat,
my good friend
though.
Hillary. My good friend this. No, I'm talking about the language he uses and the way he works with people. My good friends this. You're sitting up here lying to the American people for 2 hours, but we're good friends. No, we're not good friends. We're not good friends. This is, you've got... At a local, like you said, what is it? Like a local, the Democratic Party has their like local.
The DPECs.
Yeah, their
Democratic Party Executive Committees.
Yeah. It's as simple as this. You've got 30 people who show up for this thing and you're going to take a vote. I've got 80 people I brought from my DSA meeting who are all registered voters and we're going to run you out right now. Take a vote. Let's go.
But like essentially. It's not going to ever work that way because we live in a democracy and because there are just going to be people who are more centrist. And so what you're asking of somebody when you're like talking this way, you're asking of someone to go through the grueling amount of time and energy and money it takes to campaign and then have a job in which they actively hate everyone they work with. Like you're that's like an insane amount of sacrifice. Like no one is going to do that.
Work for
AOC. AOC is getting flack from the left currently because she's too genial with her colleagues. I've seen it multiple times. Yeah, but that's what's going to happen. So, like, essentially, if you're going to be like, oh, you can't give any quarter to the Democrats, you're basically just going to set someone up to have a completely and totally adversarial workplace life, online experience, offline experience, just general existence. It's just going to be adversarial. And that is a sacrifice I think most people aren't willing to make. And this, I think that the people who are willing to make it don't have the energy or discipline to actually get that far. So it's a tall task you're asking. And like, I'm not even going to say you're wrong, but I think it's insanely unrealistic to hold those same views and then still be like willing to go through the process.
This has already been done before. It's been done before in our lifetime. It's astroturfed as it was by the Koch brothers. The Tea Party did this. Now, I hate them. I hate them to their core. The reactionaries, whatever. But they did exactly what we're talking about. They showed up and they said, these people are not our friends. This is the agenda we want. This is the agenda the Koch brothers say we want.
Their agenda was
and
already hateful, though. So, like, that doesn't feel like a big... Like, if your agenda is, I care about people, and I want people to live a good life, and I want people to have the things they need, and also, I hate this group of people, and I'm going to work and never be nice to them ever again, like, that is, like, a very conflicted viewpoint.
So,
I don't think...
No war, but class war. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, no war, but class war, but you can't be electoralist if that's what you mean.
Look at it like that. You just can't be like, well, we're gonna show up and take our chances and hopefully the best ideas will win.
No, that is not something Bernie's doing. And so that's why it's so strange to me that you're like,
we're going to show our ideas are the purest ideas.
He's not allowed to have any, like,
people
he genuinely likes Joe Biden. Is that, like...
It's not going to work. Obviously, not working.
Who is the person who's going to go through, like I said, the time and energy of running for president...
A lifetime.
...when they sincerely hate everybody?
Let's go find them. That's our jobs. Let's go find them. Okay. They're out there. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I don't have a job right now.
You don't have
Scott, do you hate the Democratic Party enough to do this? Can we recruit you right now?
No. I mean, I don't feel like it's going to be a paid position.
It can be.
See? All right.
See, the left, the actual left, needs grifters that will work in their service. That's what it is.
Are you saying it should be like a revival tent preacher or something like that?
No. I mean, like, I don't know.
So essentially, you're fine with grifters as long as they have the politics you like.
If you're grift for good, yeah. I mean, like, my principles right now,
it's a slippery slope.
If you're rooted in doing, you know, providing as much material resources to the most amount of people, I don't think that's a slippery slope at all.
If you are so set in your convictions and so willing to fight and so willing to view the other side as adversarial, who is going to be there to check you when you have a fucked up plan?
It's not one person. It can't be any individual. It's got to be a broad base of people. It's got to be a bottom up movement. It can't be
a
singular person.
Okay, but then so essentially, it feels like what you both are saying are incompatible with each other.
We're not agreeing. Robert and I don't necessarily even agree on this in the specifics.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that.
Are you saying we need a broad coalition to fight this threat?
Yeah, we need the working class to organize. Period. Fighting in its material interests. That's what it is. It's what it's always been, and it's what it's always gonna be. Period. It is class war, but how the form that class war takes is going to have to be, it's going to have to take a lot of different forms. It's not going to take one singular form.
Leftist politics, the new class.
I don't know. I'm tired. Very tired of all of it.
And we're all going stir crazy.
I'm not
stir crazy
yet.
I'm 3 days. I went to Walmart today. I went to went to get my friend some plants. I went to Jeff's house for 1 second. I gave him my DS.
Yeah, I got DS now.
I mean, I'm just like resigned to the fact that I probably have this thing because like I worked the night before, like the Saturday before St. Patrick's Day, and saw a million motherfuckers.
So you pretty much convinced yourself that you have coronavirus.
Yeah, basically.
Cool. Glad you were by my house today.
Yeah, that's why I didn't come to your house. So we did our transaction through an open window.
Yeah. Drive through.
6 feet rule and all that.
Yeah.
Drive through.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just think it's...
Exit poll from Florida. Trust more to handle Social Security, more Florida likely voters. 59% Biden, 37% Sanders.
That's so stupid.
That debate did nothing.
No one watched the debate. Mm-hmm. My mom was literally like, it's just two men yelling at each other and not interested.
God.
And like whether or not, I mean, that is like what we're fighting against.
That's
so
lame.
I'm just saying.
I know. No,
I'm not
saying
it was
you're
not a
lame.
Very interesting thing to watch if politics are not interesting to you. Like I don't know, like, I think that Sanders' campaign knows that better than anyone else, so I know I'm, like, preaching to the choir, but sometimes I feel like we're also, like, engaged, and we find this interesting, and we like talking about it, that it's hard to...
Oh yeah, we're nerds.
It's hard to remember that other people are really turned off by a lot of the stuff that we like.
And I think that kind of to circle back, like I do think that most people would find even like correct attacks that Bernie put on Biden, and I might dig my heels in on this one. Most regular people would find that distasteful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree. Well, I don't think the ones that I saw were most people would find distasteful, but.
Bernie is not attacked Joe Biden at all. He hasn't attacked anybody except for Trump.
I mean, I do think that the way that they have been written out about in the media, I think people could find very distasteful. But
yeah, that's a hack job.
Yeah, it's an awful self-perpetuating cycle. People
get
threatened about negatively in the media, and then people are uninterested in tuning in.
It's not a self-perpetuating cycle. That cycle is being actively perpetuated. That cycle, because most people do care about whether or not they get Medicare for All, and most people do care about how much money they have coming in every week, and most people do care how much they're paying in taxes, and most people do care about the stuff that they're talking about every night. The goal of a lot of the mainline press is to make it as unacceptable, and so they do two things: they mystify it and make it seem way more complicated to the point where people can't actually understand it. When it's not, it's pretty fucking simple. And then they make it seem like these people are just messy ass bitches, right?
True.
And that's what it is. You make it the most make it seem like the most unpleasant world possible, partially because it is. And partially because you're making it to be that way. And that's the actual voter suppression that takes place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree.
I mean, I just think that the people that aren't into politics don't love to plumb the depths of their own misery quite on such a daily basis.
Right. Yeah. The point is to make it miserable. The point is to make it so that in order to engage with this, you have to hate yourself.
Me, on the other hand... I can't get enough of this shit.
I hate myself so much. I'm going to just watch politics all the time.
I wake up every day looking for a new way to hate myself. And guess what? I'm still coming. Still going.
The depths the depths are so deep. They're unplumbable.
So when should we should have a movie.
Yeah.
Your story's inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like the Rudy of
disaffected
white men.
Where's my Cinderella man? Where the hell are you at?
All of those are about disaffected white men anyway, so.
Where are you at, posse? Make my movie.
All right. Last word from everybody. Scott, you go first.
Last word is probably a Z word, so I will say zebra as my last word.
Aaron?
Oh, I'm dying. Scott, you crack me up.
Thank you.
That'll be my last word.
He's a funny guy. Robert,
keep on keeping away from me. And since you're cooped up and bored, you can donate to the Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.com/ Good Morning Comrade.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna be streaming going forward. I made some, a theme on OBS for GMC. I'm digging this lo-fi.
That's cool.
So I'm gonna.
That's a really good YouTube stream. I mean, Twitch.
What's that?
That's really good.
Oh yeah,
it's
cool.
Good quality. The Twitch stream is good quality.
Oh please, yeah.
We watched it on Amazon, so it wasn't like Amazon's funky with Twitch, and it was still fun.
Cool.
Nice.
I think I'm gonna be doing those a couple nights a week. I'm probably not gonna do one tomorrow, but probably on Thursday or something. I don't know what day it is. But. You could also listen to Good Morning Comrade every Tuesday and Thursday.
I got a last word.
Last word.
Hey, Aaron, you know how I don't care about the NFL?
And when he says he doesn't care about the NFL, this is what happens every single year.
He cares so much about the NFL that he wants
to... Bengals lose, and then he goes, I'm never watching another NFL game for the rest of my life, and then we watch an NFL game the second it starts again.
I haven't watched an NFL game all year.
So, yes, I totally know that.
I didn't watch one all last season. I didn't watch one. Hey, but Tom Brady's going to the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
so stupid.
Oh, he's going to the Bucks?
Me? Meat's back on the menu, boys.
All right. Woo!
Jesus Christ.
What a fucking nightmare. Bay. This is truly a hellscape.
Tampa loses to WrestleMania, so now, and they gain Tom Brady.
So they have Jameis Winston and Tom Brady now?
Oh, they're going to let Winston go. That's through. That's over with, huh?
So two of the worst people.
I was gonna say because I think he's pretty good. He's just a bad person. So.
Nah, Tom Brady's just dumb. But Jameis Winston's a bad person.
Anyway,
is he a worse person than just stealing crab legs? Because that's not even a crime.
Yeah, no,
he raped someone.
Go ahead.
Oh,
in college, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly.
No, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Allegedly, but actually, Drew Brees signed a $50 million contract today. While people don't know.
You're whether. Kidding me. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, people don't know whether or not they're going to get food or...
3 years.
Hmm?
He signed
3 years.
He signed a 3-year contract?
$50 million.
Fun fact, a friend of a friend married the owner of the Buccaneers.
Oh my God.
I'm three degrees of separation from a billionaire. So I'm doing great over here.
You guys are about to hear me freak the hell out.
Freak out. Go ahead. Let it go. Good, right? Let it go.
You know who I hate?
Drew Brees.
Who?
I hate Drew Brees. And I've been saying all year and all last year we should get rid of Drew Brees. And I was like, I was pretty much assured that he would be going away after this season. And we would not lose all our really good quarterbacks that are starting behind him. And then, apparently, according to Jeff, he signed a 3-year, $50 million contract.
So, yeah.
Drew Brees is the whitest elephant, in history of football.
It's not that bad, dude. Come
so
I get what you're saying. Like, you want to unload him while he still has value, but...
No,
like,
I want to let him go.
You're silly with that.
No, y'all.
Do you know how
okay,
I know?
Okay, so that's not even the angle that I was trying to take with this. It's that the NFL is willing to just shell out $50 million.
Yeah.
We don't even know that there's going to be a football. People are starving. People are having to be confined to their homes. They can't go to their jobs. Nobody knows whether or not they can get paid. But Drew Brees and the NFL owners are going to pay fucking Drew Brees $50 million to throw a bean.
She did write a $2 million check to pay Superdome. And what's the place on Smoothie King?
After Zion Williamson shamed the shit out of her by saying he would do it.
We stand Zion.
Yeah, Zion's awesome. Good. Zion's the man.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck Rita.
Yeah, she sucks.
Fuck every billionaire. There's no good billionaires amongst them.
Anyway, you thought this episode was over, but buddy, you brought that up. Drew Brees, awful person. Has anyone else seen the
He's inflicted this city
no,
with
I
Jimmy
haven't,
John's.
But I know he's done commercials for
Payday Lenders.
But listen to me. If you get a chance, watch it. It is one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
Okay.
Most insane things I've ever seen. Like,
I see an undercover boss. Who sees the boss though?
He's a Jimmy John's franchise owner.
The restaurant.
Oh, he's got a 5% stake in every regional restaurant.
Yeah.
From here to fucking Houston.
This one particularly is about the restaurant walk-ons.
Walk-ons.
And it's basically Drew Brees can't be doing all of these. So he's got one day where he goes undercover and he straight up has caveman makeup on and he's got a spray tan.
So obvious.
And he's at this job and he's walk-on. He's dropping all these dishes, being like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." This 6-foot-tall man, and then
everybody knows that's Drew Brees.
And then he brings this guy who he's working with, his coworker, to sit in front of the Superdome to eat their lunch, on some weird artifice. And be like, "Yeah, let's just go sit in front of the Superdome and eat our lunch. It's 6 blocks away. We probably have a 30-minute lunch break."
Yeah, that's exactly.
What are those cameras doing there?
So Drew Brees tells this guy, "I'm not actually this person." And then he rips his face off. He rips his face off. He rips his face off.
Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies.
100%. he rips his face off and is like, I am Drew Brees.
I'm for those of you who don't know, Walk-Ons is like a slightly classier Hooters.
It's a Hooters.
It's at the restaurant.
It's like if Hooters
were
run...
It's like a Cajun restaurant.
It's a like, Baton Rouge restaurant.
It's like if Hooters were run by like bench-warming dorks.
Yeah. Also...
Yeah, that's accurate.
Let's roast Drew Brees.
God, I hate Drew Brees so much.
You have to understand, though, dude. Look at... Go pull pull up every active quarterback in the NFL.
They're all shit bags.
No, I'm saying you'll see how quickly the talent level drops off.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know.
After you get past the first, like, 7 or 8, like, the talent level goes down significantly.
All of Drew Brees' is, like, most, like, best seasons are the ones where we had no chance of going to the playoffs. Like, all the ones where he's got, all like, right. putting up these Fran Tarkenton, like, Dan Marino numbers.
Garbage
Guess
time.
What, man?
Garbage time.
Dan Marino has never went to the freaking Super Bowl. He never won a Super Bowl either.
All right, so this is going to be my last point on this, and then we have to kick it out because I need to eat food.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock.
I am not interested in watching Drew Brees' episode of Undercover Boss, but... I am interested in watching an episode of Undercover Boss where Bobby Hebert goes
Get
to
the
Cajun
hell.
The Cajun Cannon Bar and Grill.
I love that guy. I love it.
I would watch that show.
I hate Bobby Hebert.
Last word before we go. Seriously, have you seen the coronavirus is officially canceled, y'all? It's over. Have you seen?
Is it affecting
boy,
women?
Have you seen Coach Oberon?
He dunked on it.
Yeah, he's like, hey, make sure you wash your hand.
I love it.
When you eat coffee, you cough from your elbow. You'll be coughing people fear now.
That's
you
great.
Call your elbow. You know, go Tigers.
You know what? Like,
I'm dead serious, dog.
Coach O should just do John Bell's press conferences for him. Yeah. That would be the best.
He should be governor.
God, I would vote for Coach O.
Yeah,
all right.
Like, I would 100% vote for Coach O.
You know he wouldn't have any bullshit. Like, he's not going to be like, hey, Clay Higgins, be my running mate or whatever.
All right, you can listen to Good Morning Comrade every Tuesday and Thursday on WHIVLP New Orleans, 102.3. You can also check us out online, goodmorningcomrade.com. You can also check me out streaming recently, twitch.tv/eminentprof. I'm on Twitter at eminentprof.
And you can check me out on Microsoft Teams in my pajamas. Woo! Probably tomorrow morning. So, see y'all
no, we
there.
Can't. We can't check that out.
I'm on Twitter, but if you find me, I don't want to hear about it.
Ain't nobody looking for you. All right, y'all.
I just got a new job, so I'm on Twitter a lot.
Nice.
I'm just sitting around.
All right, folks. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.